You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training that you need to get started, as well as a community of church planning and multi-site experts to help you thrive. Go to newchurches.com and download the exclusive State of Church Planning Research Report for free. My name is Daniel Im, and I'm here with Todd Adkins.
What?
Well, today we have a question from Josh Hollowell, so let's listen to it.
Hello, my name is Josh Hollowell, and I live in Muncie, Indiana. I am currently a church planting apprentice at New Life Presbyterian Church with the goal of planting a church in downtown Muncie out of this church, a daughter church out of New Life. And currently my job is pursuing ordination in the PCA, so finishing up my seminary and pursuing ordination, as well as working at the church and learning church ministry and learning church planting. And then finally, the final piece of it is establishing connections in the community and beginning to lay the groundwork for church planting, establishing vision, gathering a core group, all of those things. And so it feels currently as though that pulls us and my wife and my three young kids and myself in many different directions. And I know that church planting is an intense process with especially in launch. And so how do I begin to develop rhythms of rest now that will help us sustain long term? Thanks.
All right. Well, Todd, do you want to open us up?
There ain't no rest for the wicked. I don't know what to say. No, I will say I am absolutely horrible at this particular principle. So in this case, this is one of those who can't do teach. Because I know what I should do. And during various places in my life, I've actually practiced these things. But I'm not great at doing them currently. So I would say, you know, one of the biggest things is, especially if Josh is married, that's the primary, one of the primary places he needs to find rest and rejuvenation is in his marriage. So, you know, some of the best advice I've ever received, and sometimes I followed it, not currently following it now, but that's date weekly. Get away quarterly. So, you know, like go away for the weekend, even if it's, you know, Friday, Saturday, you're back on Sunday for church kind of thing. And then, you know, of course, vacation annually. That was easy to do before we had kids. And we were really good at doing that before we had kids.
Oh, completely.
And now changes it's everything. Like, none of our family lives nearby, so it's really hard to get away quarterly. And it's even hard for us to date weekly. So I would say put a major prioritization on that. The other thing is, you know, basically taking care of yourself. Another thing I don't do terribly well, which is, you know, involves exercise and sleep. You know, just because you can function on less sleep doesn't mean that you should. But you know, the big thing there is really setting good boundaries now and margining blocks of time to help get the work done. Mm-hmm. If you're able to do that early on and you're able to do that now and think about, you know, working in every 3 years or 5 years sabbatical, if your church has a sabbatical system, going ahead and embracing that.
And because you're planting, you know, make sure that you institute a sabbatical system for your church as well.
Absolutely. So when you are setting up the thing, be sure that is, you're setting clear expectation, you're setting clear boundaries. You want to prioritize your day, you want to prioritize your week, and you want to prioritize your month, you want to prioritize your year. And that sounds a little daunting or crazy, but you know, think about the things that you need to get done today and start the day that way. Have a plan for the day. If you do not prioritize your day, it will be prioritized for you, either by someone else or the tyranny of circumstance. And we all, as pastors, sometimes can fall into that.
Mm-hmm. I like how you mentioned the block system. One thing my wife and I did early on, and now it's become a little bit more of a rhythm for us, a little bit more natural. But earlier on, what we would do is we would break every day into three blocks, you know, morning to lunch, lunch to dinner, dinner to sleep. So every day would have three blocks, and then, you know, so seven. So there'd be 7 days a week, 21 blocks. What we would do at the beginning of each week, and even before that, just as a rule and rhythm for our marriage, we would say, okay, let's block off the, you know, 9 to 5, you know, just those first two blocks per day. Let's just block that off for work. If we have a week where we are a little bit more flexible in our work, we can change that. But after we block off those 10 for work, let's begin blocking off, okay, what is our Sabbath going to be? So block off and write down, okay, this is going to be our Sabbath. And then, okay, which block is going to be our date night? And which blocks are going to be our individual nights? And what that allowed us to do is to give me freedom and give her freedom to do what we wanted to do. So for me, it would be going to play sports or playing squash or basketball or whatnot. And I wouldn't have...
Squash?
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of like racquetball, but a little bit more strategic.
Squash.
Yeah, squash. Not throwing a squash around.
I've shot squash and watched them explode. Yeah.
So then the beauty of that is it would allow me to do something that filled me without feeling guilty that I wasn't spending time with my wife. And same with my wife, she would be able to read a book or hang out with her friends, and it would be a neat way to schedule out our time.
What's that like with children?
Man, that's changed forever since having it.
The blocks saying, become Legos and it all comes apart.
Yeah. I mean, I love this quote by Benjamin Franklin. Failing to plan is planning to fail.
Yeah.
And one thing that I would recommend to you, Josh, and everyone else listening is to develop a rule of life. I know it sounds a little bit, you know, what does that even mean? Even if you're just to Google rule of life, there are a few books out there. Ken Shigematsu wrote a great one. It was published, I think, by IVP. But the idea with the rule of life is to plan, right? To plan, how are you going to grow in your relationship with God? So when I look at mine, I have a category called seeking God. So what am I going to do to seek God? One of my points for seeking God is this: I am unbusy. This is a term Eugene Peterson used in The Contemplative Pastor. I will correct people anytime they tell me that I'm a busy man. I will not let that part of my ego be stroked. Now, I'm not, just because that's in my rule of life doesn't mean that I always do that well, but it's something that I'm striving towards. So seeking God is one of those categories. Another category is prayer. Another one of those is work, study, spiritual community, care of my body, reaching out, hospitality, and maintaining my rule. Basically, it's not that I develop this and I have to stick to it like it's legalism or I need to do this every single week. But by planning that out, it's given me a good framework to be able to plan and to be able to move forward in developing myself, keeping a healthy rule and rhythm of life in all aspects.
Because if you don't do that, you're going to burn out.
Yes.
That's the easiest way to, scripture is pretty blunt about the pastor and the role of the pastor, but also that Satan is setting a trap for you. It's one of the places that we look at when we go, wow, you know, as leaders, as church leaders, you've got a target on your back. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing more than he would love to do than shoot you out of the saddle. And the easiest way for us to do that is to get worn down. And then it's much more easily for us to be dragged away and enticed by something that could take us down for life.
Yeah, because if you don't plan, if you don't mark these areas of your lives out, then the fact is the bigger your church gets, the more demands there are going to be on your time. Things don't get simpler as you grow older. No. And even as you go into developing a launch team, you know, graduating seminary, getting ordained, developing a launch team and going, it's just going to be busier and busier. So you need to set those boundaries spiritually for your family, for your church as well.
I would say, you know, it's about planning and processes, because anything in your life that you can systematize or you can put a process to, will simplify that. And I'm not saying, you know, be dictated by a process or a policy or something like that. But what I am saying is there's typically three types of problems in a church or an organization. There are those that are simple, and that they involve things. It's basically like baking a cake. There's a set of instructions. It's a recipe to follow. It's simple. If you follow the recipe, you get this result every time. Then there are things that are complicated, and those are, as you grow, the different systems and how they come together, the different processes and how they come together. The simple problems together make things more complicated. So you have multiple recipes that are coming down the pike and that you have to interact with and make work. And then last is the complex. And the complex, that is leadership, my friend, because that is the thing that you can't put your finger on that happens. It's beyond something that is simple to solve. It's beyond something, a bunch of simple things that you can, if you systematize it, it'll work out. These are the complex issues. And if you do not kill and crush the simple and the complicated, you will not have time for the complex. Yeah, you will not have time to lead your church.
Yeah.
You'll simply be focused on keeping all the plates spinning. And you will run out of gas, and you'll end up selling used cars.
Yeah.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah. Josh and others who are listening, if you're planting a church, being able to schedule out even the hours that you spend on all of your responsibilities is an important thing too. So let me go through two different frameworks. If you're a full-time planting, every week, when you look at the idea of evangelistic outreach, you should be spending about 15 hours a week on that. If you're bivocational, spend about 3 hours on that. And the reason is you can't plant a church without spending time with lost people. The next thing is when you look at sermon and study preparation, I know in seminary, my profs, they would say, hey, if you're not spending 20 to 30 hours a week preparing and, you know, exegeting out of the script, you know, out of the original languages, then you're not doing a faithful job. But the reality is, as a planter, you have a lot of other things to do. So if you're full-time, spend about 10 hours a week on sermon and study prep. If you're bivocational, 3 hours. You know, obviously we want to spend time more, but you need to spend time with the leaders and the lost if you're planting a church. Administration wise, if you're full-time, spend about 10 hours, bivocational, spend about 2. And the last one is care, for your leaders, care for your congregants. If you're full-time, expect, about 15 hours. And if you're bivocational, 3. You need to pay close attention to how you're using your time, because if you don't, once again, if you don't plan, you're failing. If you're failing to plan, you're going to plan to fail. And this is what I love. I'll end with this quote by Andy Stanley. He said, "Sunday morning is for communicating, not counseling. In fact, and to some, this may sound unspiritual, I don't think you can actually build a church on people who need counseling. When your church has grown and you have more resources, then those people can come back and be helped by the ministry you've built." And a lot of what he said there comes back to the idea of growth barriers and growing past those. So I encourage you to listen to the previous podcast episodes where we address that. And I hope that helped. So thank you again for listening to the New Churches podcast. If you have any questions on planting, multi-site, or multiplication, just send us a voicemail on newchurches.com. Or if you are on a mobile device, go to speakpipe.com/newchurches, and you can send that in. And if you haven't done so already, please leave us a rating and review on iTunes, because it helps others discover this podcast and benefit from it as much as we hope you are. So thanks again for listening in.